me in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I love this chapter. The more and more that I get to study, the deeper and deeper we get to go into it. And it really, to me, it kind of feels like we're rushing through it because we're only trying to preach one message on different passages. And we just finished last Wednesday night with verse 12, one of the most amazing passages in this chapter, and it talks about the great change. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we would probably all echo with the apostles, what a name that is. It certainly made a change in my life, and I hope it's made that same change in your life. And then it shows in the very next verse one of the most amazing, a really amazing example, testimony, accusation, I guess, leveled at the disciples. And it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that's not the neat part, that's not necessarily a compliment, that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. But this is, listen to this statement, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The reason that sticks out to me tonight is the fact that it's not just one of those. It's not just saying that they hung around each other, that they somehow, I don't know what. This could be interpreted vaguely, many different ways. You know, maybe they started wearing the same cologne, or they dressed the same as Jesus, or they. When I was a teenager, there was this ridiculous fad of tightening up the cuff of your pants. You remember that, Brother Booth? And I never did it, but my best friend did. That was one of the things that I never picked up from him. I thought it was, did you do it? Oh, you were cooler than I was. Did you do it, Brother Scott? Do you know what I'm talking about, though? Yeah. We're not talking about following a fad or anything like that. What they're saying is they had spent such time with Jesus that it changed the way that they acted. And it had a positive impact. It didn't give them superhuman strength or superhuman ability, but it affected the way that they lived because of who Jesus was, because of that wonderful name. It says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There's a difference. Listen, you can be saved and not have that said about you. You can be saved and not grow in the Lord and stunt your growth and fight the Lord and rebel against the Lord, be cold, be backslidden. I think I would rather err on the side of verse 13, where when people saw me, when people saw you, when people thought about our church, they would say, it looks like they've spent some time with Jesus. It looks like they've spent some time in His presence. Why? I think because it changes you. You're not what you were. The Bible uses different terms for the children of God as ambassadors and peculiar people and all those wonderful statements. And verse 14 says, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, this is a wonderful statement. This is a benefit, a byproduct of having spent time with Jesus, having a real abiding relationship with Him. And said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He says, look in verse 20, he says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Verse 21 is even an interesting verse because at this point it said they couldn't find anything to punish them over. By chapter 5, they're not even going to care about finding anything worthy to punish them over. They're just going to start, if they can't find anything worth keeping them in prison, they're just going to beat them and then release them. And this time, at least, they've avoided that. But I believe it's the very next chapter where they counted themselves worthy, that they were willing to, that they were able to suffer for Jesus' sake. Heavenly Father, be with us a few moments together. And what a great example we see from Peter and John and the apostles here tonight. Help us to take a just grasp it a little bit tonight and apply some truths to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Having the opportunity, obviously more than you guys, to you all to be able to study this, as I study this passage and the city of Jerusalem being under Roman rule, you can almost feel the turmoil in the city a little bit. Not because of what the disciples are doing. I mean, they are stirring things up. The gospel does that. But you can almost sense as the gospel, as the book of Acts begins, that the religious leaders, they just begin getting more and more afraid of what is going on. They're afraid of losing their position. They're afraid of seeming to be out of control, not having control over their people, so to speak, and the Roman government coming down hard on them because they can't seem to get things under control. This all goes back to chapter 3 where as the Jews are entering the temple, we're introduced to a crippled man, and Peter and John, in the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us, they heal him. They heal him. Peter and John are arrested. A council is convened, and both times Peter's used the opportunity to share the gospel, to preach them about Jesus, to tell them about this man named Jesus of Nazareth who they crucified. And over again, Peter's using this opportunity. And the Jews are upset, and they're threatening them. And soon their threats will turn to violence, and their threats will turn to many different things. We're getting to in Mark chapter number 11 this Sunday coming up, spoiler alert, Jesus is going to go in and clear the temple. And the Bible then says that the religious leaders took counsel how they could kill him. They're ready to put an end to this man named Jesus. And it's interesting to think that it was most likely some of the men that were convened on this council here this evening that we looked at last Wednesday night, and the graciousness of God just giving them opportunity again and again. No, even with sins that perhaps we would think are unpardonable, sending Jesus to the cross, in God's grace, He still gives opportunity to repent. He's still long-suffering. And the world was, society, the religious elite of the day were still threatened. Peter and John and this message was a threat to them. It was a threat. We live in a world where that the gospel is still a threat to people. People don't like to look at the church and see us being different and distinct, biblical, much less. They'd love for us to be quiet, to not share the gospel. They'd love us to just blend in, just get along, just loosen up, quiet down, fall in line, whatever you want to call it. But there are just, as Peter points out, as Scripture points out, that there are just some things that they couldn't deny. They couldn't deny the fact that this young man had been healed. They couldn't deny the fact that he'd been healed in Jesus' name. They couldn't deny the fact that they were guilty of crucifying Jesus. They couldn't deny the fact that Peter was still preaching. Peter and John were both still preaching in Jesus' name. And I think it comes down in verse number 13 to why the early church was so bold. Why the early church was so bold in their witness, in their living, and it was a byproduct. It was an effect of having been with Jesus. And I don't know if there's a greater testimony in Scripture. There are some wonderful things said of men and women of God who were Spirit-filled, who desired to be a man after God's own heart. If you remember Moses, he was called the friend of God. David was called a man after God's own heart. And Exodus gives us a really interesting picture of having been in the presence of God. Moses is on the mountain fasting, and he asks God to see him. And God says, you can see as he passed by. And the Bible says when Moses came down in Exodus 34 that his face shone, and it shone with the glory of God. And it reminds us that maybe it's not going to happen in the same way where our face glows literally, but I think being in the presence of Jesus, it affects your countenance. It does affect our countenance. We've been talking about in Sunday night, Psalm chapter 63, that the byproduct of seeking after God is contentment, is joy, is peace. And I think we find here tonight that the religious leaders pointed out that there was something peculiar about these men. They said it's not a positive thing that they said about them. It said that they were unlearned and they were ignorant men. It wasn't a great compliment. There wasn't anything for them to glory about in that. But they took counsel of the fact that the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, that as far as their traditions, their upbringing, these men had not attended the schools that tradition said they should attend. They hadn't studied under the same leaders and teachers that they thought they should attend, that they should have followed. But however, their testimony was that they had simply been with Jesus. I love how Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter number 2. He tells us that we're a royal priesthood, but he also tells us that we're a peculiar people. And when I was a younger person, a young man, a child, I always thought peculiar meant you were weird. Peculiar was a peculiar word to me as a child. But peculiar, it means something that is set apart from something that has happened to it. Something has happened to make that thing peculiar. And it's kind of like reminding us in Acts chapter 4, and verse number 12, because of that name which is above all names, because of the salvation that comes through the name of Jesus, verse 13 reminds us, it caused a difference to happen. These men were bold. They had a bold testimony. I'm reminded, I love the songs that we sing. I love the music that we have here in our church. And in our songbook, there's a song that we often sing in the invitation time. It's number 39. It's called, the song is titled, Take My Life and Let It Be. And it talks about my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. My feet, my voice, let me sing always only for my King. My lips, let them be filled with messages for thee. I think that's what happened to the apostles here. Is this change, and it caused a boldness in their testimony, a change in their countenance. They were peculiar in their living and in their lifestyle, but I don't think there was just a peculiarness about them. I think there was a passion about them. The interesting thing is they couldn't just tell that they had been with Jesus. Like, they adapted his quirks, and I've been around young guys that I went to school with, and it seemed like a lot of them were trying to sound like Brother Davison or Bill Marshall or guys like that. And I've always just preach how God built you to preach. But these guys were different. The reason that they said they'd been with Jesus is because they were behaving like Jesus behaved. These were the same men in the upper room that Jesus had washed their feet, and he said, I've given you an example that ye should follow. And what the greatness of this statement isn't that they combed their hair like Jesus or wore their beard like Jesus or wore their clothes the way Jesus did. The greatness of this statement is that Jesus had left them an example, and they were following that example. They were following that example. Now listen, those who hunger to know Him, those who are seeking Him, will become more and more like Him. Philippians, and Paul wrote to the Philippian church, and he wrote that I may know Him. The reason that they could be so bold, the reason that they could continue with the message, the reason that they could be so confident in their message is because they had been with Jesus. They were doing exactly what Jesus had done. And We saw that in the first few chapters of the book of Acts. They'd spent time with God. They'd sought time to get alone with God, to give priority to spending time with God in prayer and studying the Word of God, desiring the Spirit of God to have full reign in their life. And these people, these religious leaders, they noticed that about Peter and John. And if you haven't spent time with Jesus, if you haven't spent time with Him, we understand that the opposite is true. You're not going to be filled with the Spirit. You're not going to have a closeness with Jesus, to Jesus. You're not going to have an abiding relationship with Him. We ought to take time each day to spend time with Him, to connect with Him, to confess our sins, to ask God to empty us of self and fill us with His Spirit, to give us a boldness that He gave to these disciples, these unlearned, ignorant fishermen. They were bold in their testimony. They were bold in the face of opposition. Verse 14 and following, it says the religious leaders, they conspired against them. They threatened them. And Satan's always using whatever he can to get to silence the message of God. Satan will use whatever he can in your life, whether it's a hardship, whether it's an excuse, whatever it might be, to get you to quit, to get you to give up, to get you to draw back in your dedication, your allegiance to God. One man said, if you give up when the going gets tough, you'll stunt your spiritual growth. I heard this years ago as a young person, probably from a youth pastor, but he said this, that the devil wants to give you what you think are legitimate excuses for bad behavior. He wants to give you what you think are legitimate reasons for giving up, for not walking with God, for not growing in your relationship, for not surrendering to Him. Here these men saw Paul, Peter and John and their testimony, their boldness, and they couldn't deny what had happened. They couldn't deny what had taken place. And when they questioned Peter and John over and over again, they just kept telling them the same thing. It's in the name of Jesus that this man is healed. It's in the name of Jesus that this man, it stands here before you healed. And the thing that struck these men so heavily was because of the fact that Jesus had said He would rise again. And now it was coming, standing before them, the fact that Jesus was still alive. That Jesus' name, even just the name of Jesus, had power. They were bold in their testimony, in the face of opposition. They were even bold in their message, in what they had to say. This goes back to a couple of different things. These men were simply men that feared God more than they feared man. They were worried about what God thought more than they were worried about what man thought. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says. But fools, it says, despise wisdom and instruction. Peter and the apostles here, as they addressed the authorities, they were respectful. They were respectful, but they recognized that they were under a higher authority, a higher commission, a higher command to proclaim the name of Christ. And Peter even goes so far as, in verse number 19, he says, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. They were willing to take whatever punishment these men thought that they deserved, but it didn't matter. They couldn't help but speak what they had seen and heard. It couldn't help but speak of the name of Jesus. And it reminds us of the importance that though we will face times of persecution, Peter and John remind us that we can graciously and boldly speak the truth. We can graciously and boldly speak the truth. Despite the threats that were made against them, they were more worried about disobeying God. They were more worried about displeasing God than they were of being thrown into prison or even killed for their faith. It's an amazing passage of Scripture before us tonight. If they feared God more than they feared man, and they could be bold in their message because their message couldn't be denied. Peter, in verse number 20, Peter lets them know, we can't help, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter let these Jews know that it's a message that he must preach. He had to preach. He couldn't help but preach. And so he was full to overflowing with the goodness of God, with the graciousness of God, with the reminder of God's riches in salvation that had been lavished upon them. And so he couldn't help but live for God. He couldn't help but spend time with God. He couldn't help but pray. He couldn't help but share the gospel with other people. It's a similar statement to the Apostle Paul that he made in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." It's a powerful message. It's an undeniable message. It's a life-changing message. It's a loving message. And it's the same message that we share today. I love the fact that when we think of the example here with them standing before these men in great authority, that witnessing wasn't something that they had to be talked into doing. They didn't have to be reminded to do it. They didn't have to be bribed to do it. They just told people about Jesus wherever they went. They believed God's promise. They believed God was who He said He was. They believed what God's Word said about who God was. They believed the words that Jesus had spoken to them. Verse 21 reminds us that the result of this, their boldness and their faithfulness in preaching the gospel and witnessing to these men was that that men glorified God for that which was done, the Bible says. My desire ought to be that we glorify God in what we do, not just in this place, but in our living. And it's a byproduct, it's an effect of having been with Jesus. It's a message. It's a life-changing message. It's a loving message and about a Savior that took our place on a cross. This would have been hard for these Jewish leaders to accept, because if He was who He said He was, then they'd missed the one that Scripture had prophesied about. If He was who He said that He was, they had, as Peter just told them, crucified the Prince of Life. The message that Peter and John were preaching to them was about a Savior who died for the lost, who came to seek and to save, just as He said He had done, that He would do, and He had done that. It's a message about a sacrifice, Jesus enduring the cross to save us from our sin, rising from the dead, and victorious over death. Peter and John told the Jews, this was the message, and the Savior behind this message was what was responsible for the man that stood there before them on this day. The message of the gospel brought healing to this man. The message of the gospel today still brings help and hope to those in lives ruined by sin. It's a life-changing message. That's the message that we preach today. The gospel still has the power to save sinners, and I'm thankful for the day that it changed my life, and I pray that you're thankful for the day that it changed your life, the day that the light of the glorious gospel shone into my life, into my heart. And my prayer ought to be, help me to be bold like the apostles. Help me to have a boldness that's unlike what this world has seen. Help me to be bold in my witness and my living for the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will never understand truly our Savior. They'll never comprehend the reasons why we are the way we are without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The world may never get it. The world may never understand. But just as with this healed man who stood before them, there are some things that we can't deny. Some of those things are the fact that He lives within my heart today. That the change that He's made in my life, the change that He's made in your life. And when we've been with Jesus, it's obvious. As a believer, as a child of God, when you've been with Jesus, it's obvious. When you haven't been with Jesus, it's obvious as well. As the disciples, the example that they give us, I want to be bold like the disciples. Often I find myself tongue-tied as I'm tripping over my tongue tonight. Worried, scared, fearful. I want a boldness like the apostles had, and it comes from spending time with Jesus, from being in His presence. And Tonight, as we take a few minutes just here in just a moment to pray, perhaps as we pray for these requests, as we pray for one another, we'll take time tonight. Let's take time tonight and ask Him to pray for, ask Him for boldness. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the righteous are bold as a lion. Maybe we take some time this evening and ask the Lord to give us some good old-fashioned boldness in our walk with God and our witness and in our worship for Him. Would you pray with me this evening, and then we'll take some time individually to pray as well. Thank you for those that are here. We do think of the many that aren't able to be here that would love to be here. We do pray that you be with these few moments as we lift our requests to you, these requests that have been made. My heart's heavy for our missionaries and for those foreign and home missionaries that we support, and help us to be faithful in praying for them. Help us to be faithful in praying for one another. Lord, tonight may we ask you for boldness to share the gospel, to put a track in someone's hand, and to encourage someone in their walk with God. Whatever it might be, give us a boldness for you, Lord, that it is unlike anything this world has ever seen, and a boldness that allows us to speak boldly and courageously for in the name of Jesus Christ and share the gospel and stand for right and stand for truth and stand for your word, Lord. Help us to be bold. Give us a boldness tonight, a renewed energy and desire and courage to be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.